Don't you dare wait until the perfect song. Don't you dare wait until the perfect sermon. Don't you dare wait till the pastor comes and says, won't you come pray? Today is the day of salvation. Let me read what the Spirit give me to write for you tonight. If you become well enough acquainted with the God of the impossible who you serve, then you know that even though apparent defeat, that through it God is still able to work his wisdom. And you begin to examine your growth, and you'll find that you'll recognize obstacles in your way as opportunities instead of stumbling blocks. You'll see what you're going through as a chance to grow instead of a chance to quit. Nothing that is ever intended to bring defeat will cause defeat, because out of your defeat, the victory comes. Out of what the devil would have had to destroy you, victory comes. I'm telling you, Lazarus was already 4 days late, and Jesus showed up right on time. You might think it's too late, you might think it's over, but the Lord is just beginning to do a good work in your life. Because if you're still going through it and you think that it's over, I'm here to tell you that it's not over yet, and there's more to come. Because until you get to the victory, you're just holding on. Amen. Nothing you ever go through is for your downfall. If it were, you would have already been gone. God spoke through prophets. Hear this. He spoke through prophets in the Old Testament that people that had went against God would be slain. They didn't have to lay a hand on them. They didn't have to get their sword out and slay them. They would immediately fall dead. And I'm here to tell you, you might think that you're getting away with luck, coincidence, and circumstance, and by the protection of others. But friends, you better know that you know that you're on the good side of God. You've got to know and understand something, that unless you have God as first in your life, then what you're going through will destroy you. The Bible refers to Satan as a roaring lion. The lion is one of the most powerful animals in the animal kingdom. Even animals that are bigger than the lion fear the lion. What do you think the lion walks with that causes them to be afraid? He walks with confidence. He walks without fear. And that tells me that even though we're bigger than the lion, that what he walks with to cause us to be afraid keeps us from realizing that what we're going through is for our good. It's not for your detriment. I'm getting into some real common sense stuff right now. If you don't understand this in the Bible, you need to know this right now. What you go through is to grow you up. What you go through is to help you get stronger. And if you have ever blamed God for something bad that has happened, you're directing your blame in the wrong direction. Because God would have never done anything to harm you, but he wants you to have victory out of it. Our minds can't even comprehend God's plan. So when things happen that we don't understand and we're questioning why, we may not ever know the answer, because we weren't built to comprehend his perfect will. But he loves us enough to still take us through it, even when we don't understand it. The phrase that God gave me is, in this translation it says furtherance, but another translation it's translated to mean advance. When he says, I would rather it be unto the advancement of the gospel. And the phrase that God gave me was, adversity means to advance. Your difficulties, if you'll be willing to sustain it, will cause you to grow. Growth is never easily realized. I remember you when you were a young man. Just this big, man. And now you're taller than me. You don't just look down and say, wow, I just felt myself grow 3 inches. That's awesome. You don't realize when the growth is occurring, because we are blind to growth. But when we are willing to endure our suffering as a Christian, it proves our Christianity and we grow. Do you believe that? I'm here to tell you that if you'll grow, you'll last longer in the fight. And if you say no, you don't receive this word, you don't receive anything that's going on, and you think, I know what I'm supposed to do and I don't need you to tell me, you let me know where you are in the middle of your storm, if you're going to hang on or let go. Let's read on down in this chapter, verse 15. Philippians chapter 1, same book. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. These were the people that were coming against Paul, the religious and those that even represented his same beliefs. That's what amazes me. I begin to read about that. And even though he was afraid of what he was going to face with the king or the Pharaoh at that time, I believe his name was Ephus, he was talking about the people that were supposed to be ones that was like him. Of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He was literally talking about what he was chained to. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what he's saying there? That even though the people that were coming against him are glad he's in prison and are taking advantage of the opportunity that he's down in a situation, that as long as Jesus was being preached and what they were saying, that he was okay with it. We look at other people's situations that are going good and we almost grow envious of their prosperity. And we went from being supportive Christians that's like, you got a job? Bless God, brother. Hallelujah. And instead of being like that, we're like, well, how did he get a job? I've been looking for a job for 4.5 years. What's going on with this? Oh, I know what it is. They're just coming against me. That's what it is. Let me tell you something. Even when people come against me, you know what's happening? Christ is still being preached anyway. Let me tell you, when people come against you and don't support you and clap their hands and make you feel good, it is not stopping the prosperity of your spiritual warfare that you're fighting when you take a stand and obey God. They may not come up and say, bless God, you did so great, Doris, but it's just as progressive because it's going where we don't even see. We don't even know where it's going, but yet it goes. So I'm here to tell the haters tonight, and the haters not present, that you can come against 13th Street all you want. You can make fun of our building if you want. But let me tell you what we do have. We have an altar that is open for whosoever will. We have a place where those that come in that are drunk and on drugs have a refuge and an opportunity to change their life. There's not many places that you'll find that accept everyone the way the Bible says. If you don't have on those sleeves, brother, I don't think so. If you look too wild, I don't know. I don't know. I should bring a picture sometime for you to see. And then you would think to yourself, I can't believe I ever let this guy preach to me. Hey, if you're here, you went through the 80s too. I know your hair was just as crazy. And if you went through the 90s, it not only got bigger, it got more crazy. I'm glad we moved on. That's why I tell my mom, what were you thinking in those pictures and that haircut? Lord, have mercy. That was a sad-looking sight, I'll tell you that. Let me read this to you. One of the hardest things for us to do is to rejoice in support of one another. When we feel jealous or not able, there is a presence of pride and envy that can only be dealt with by being sincere. When I read this, it's talking about, he's saying in verse 16, the one that preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction. If you're just obeying God because you feel like you've got to make other people be proud of you or think that you're doing it the way that you should be doing it. If you're only doing what you're doing based on what somebody else has told you it's supposed to be. If you're not bringing it from the heart, what good is it? If you're not going to be sincere, what good is it to try? Because I'm here to tell you, you can be the most gifted individual in the world. There's been some evangelists that I've been around. They could play and literally smoke would start rising up off the piano because they played so good. Then they'd get over here and preach and evangelize and be done in 30 minutes. Then they'd be able to minister and pray for people in the altar. And I would think, wow, that's so awesome. But what I wasn't thinking about is all they had to go through to get there. The shoes that they wore, the struggle in every step, the fact that they even come in with sound mind astounds me. But there are preachers today that are not preaching in the right spirit. There are people out there that are sending out, as the Bible says, strange fire. It takes the appearance of what looks real and sounds real, but the substance they give to others does not sustain them. So then you have people that are only saved 2 weeks and give up. People that are supposedly baptized in the Holy Ghost and give up. I'm telling you, when you get the real thing, you know you got it. And it's not something you easily put away. So until we know and can get to a true presence, a fire of God, then people aren't going to be sustained. You know how that you sustain fire? You kindle it with fresh substance. The support of one another in this place is putting wood on the fire to continue. If I didn't, amen, my pastor, my good friend, if I did not get behind her and support her, but I got up here and expected her to amen every single word I said, here's what happens. I get full and she gets empty. Let me tell you what happens when we don't equally give what people give unto us. People get burnt out and tired. And one day they just stop showing up. And everybody's like, well, they must be in trouble. They must have something going on. Do you know what's going on? I don't know what's going on. Have you called them? I haven't called them either. Maybe you should call them. No, maybe I should. Well, I don't have their number. Oh, well, it'll be all right. And we get so complacent on the true needs of each other that I've never seen the age that we're in. Gary, people would rather text me than call me. And they would rather call me than look me in the eye. And they'd just as much rather get on Skype or video chat and have Christmas than they would to even show up and bring some fruitcake. And I wouldn't even like fruitcake, but if you'd show up and bring fruitcake, we'd get along. I enjoy the presence of company. I enjoy the support of one another. I need you, and you need that. We need to help each other to be sustained in this day, especially if you want to create an environment for the Spirit to live. Because the only time the Spirit comes and goes, church, is when you're not doing enough to let it stay. Let's read on in verse 19 of the chapter. That section we just read, the Lord gave me, rivalry causes rejoicing. So even in the presence of adversity, you can still rejoice. Verse 19 and 20, it says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. When we read the word salvation in verse 19, it is not in the sense of eternal salvation, but that is referring to triumph or victory. And what God gave me in this is that the test produces triumph. That whether we survive it the way we expect it or not, it will still produce a triumph. Because if you can just get through it, let me tell you, I don't have everything I had when I first started preaching. And if I based my ministry on everything I used to have compared to what I have, I don't have anything. When I compare where I am now to where I was then, let me tell you what's happened. I have less in my life. Because what happens? You can't eat something and drink something at the same time. You can't jump up and down, scratch your head, rub your belly, sing out loud, snap your fingers, shout hallelujah, pick your nose, blink your eyes every which way, all at the same time. If your life is so caught up in drama, in rumors, and what people are talking about you, and how mad that you are at somebody, and the things that are trying to keep your mind away from God, if you are surrounded by all this stuff, you can't think right. And if you don't think right, you're not going to make good decisions. So as you grow in God, what happens? We learn that we do not need this anymore. I know I feel this in my heart, and I'm giving it to somebody right now. You are better off to leave that drama behind you, because carrying it with you will only bring you more harm. I felt that. I felt that. You are better off just to leave it behind you than to walk with it forever. Because let me tell you, if I grew vindictive and upset about something today, and I never tell the person, confront the person, do anything about it, then I could go 20 years without the full blessing of God simply because I've not let go of something. If Jesus could hang on a cross and say, Father, forgive them, then you can say to this he said, she said, Father, forgive them. Your drama is not a cross. And if you had to endure the cross, then you would say, okay, I'll give up my drama. Just don't give me the cross. Because if we had to truly bear the kind of thing that we get spared from all the time, we wouldn't survive. We have to learn to walk lighter of load simply from the things we already know that we shouldn't be carrying. And if we would learn to let go of this kind of thing, we would be more free. The Bible says, for he who the Son has set free, he is free indeed. That means you're not only free when he saved you, that means that you're still free and don't have to carry all of that stuff that comes to overwhelm you. I have family and friends that go through things all the time, and I tell them, what's it worth to hold on to it another day? It's not worth it to hold on to it another day, because there's nothing good that ever comes from something that feels bad. There's nothing good that will ever come from anything that makes you feel bad. Nothing. The only way something good comes from something bad is that when the Spirit of God gets in it. It came in the moment when the tree was threw out into the bitter waters and gave them something to drink. It came when the Word of God said that bitter and sweet waters would not dwell in the same fountain. That light and darkness cannot have no fellowship, because once the light comes, you know and cannot go back. I can't go back to the way I used to live. I know better. And I'm going to get real plain right now. We can't be the same Christian we were last year because we know better. I'm about to go do it. You better get ready. We can't be the same people we were 20 years ago. We know better. We can't dwell on the pain of 20 years ago. We know better. We can't act like we're still dying if we're still living, because God has made us to know the truth. Let's read one last scripture. I don't want to keep you all night. Verse 21, same chapter. Isn't this amazing that this come from somebody in prison? Blows my mind. This was one of his most affectionate letters. Listen, you can't find a single place over where Paul preached and where he did his ministry. You know what's left of what Paul did as a man? Nothing but rubble. Broken stones. There's no places that were erected during his ministry that are still here today other than just rocks that survived underground. But you know what has survived? You know what has established the whole western part of the earth is the very things that we read about in a time of pain. That means that what he went through served as a way to teach us. And that's what makes it powerful. That's what he erected here through his teaching in us, that we would know that what we go through is to help and teach others there's a better way. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But I want you to think about something for a second. If we change the word Christ to something else in this world, you could give me anything right now that you want to substitute instead of Christ. Let's go. Let's say money. For to me to live is money, and to die is gain. Well, if you're going to die, what good is your money? For to me is fame. What good does your fame do when you've drawn your last breath? You'll be an obituary, and for most other than your loved ones, a forgotten memory. The only thing that will be beyond even your legacy is Christ. For you to live is Christ. That's the only way that when you die, you gain something. Because without the relationship with Jesus Christ, anything else that you try to put in front of him, money and fame and popularity and being the one that's right and being the one that's proven. I'm here to tell somebody right now, you do not have to be proven right to be right in the eyes of God. You do not have to fight for the last word and the last laugh to prove yourself, because it's not worth that fight. That's not the fight the Lord would have you to fight. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But read verse 24. Somebody ought to circle this one. Because when you're looking at your situation, you need to see what your purpose of still being here is. It says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That doesn't mean to walk in the flesh. That means to still be here and do something good for somebody. It's needful that you're here. And if it were meant that you would not be here, you would not be here. Before I came tonight, we stopped by at a funeral and paid our respects. There was a lady that ever since we started going to the nursing home and singing, she was like one of our charter members. She always showed up. She was always there. She was so friendly. She was 94 when she passed away. She was such a wonderful person. And I just began to think, God, there's just not too many people like that anymore that have a genuine heart for people they know and people they don't know. There's just not enough of that kind of love. And as that generation is going out, we're the ones that have to be responsible for still showing the same love that we were taught when we grew up. But when I looked upon her, the body looked wore out, tired, different than what it did when we saw her in the nursing home. But you know what? I know where she's at. When she died, she gained something. We don't need to sit around and mope our whole life and singing about can't wait to get over there. Heaven starts here. If it didn't start here, he wouldn't have sent the comforter. If it didn't start here, he wouldn't have been resurrected from the tomb. Heaven starts here. You've got to learn to be happy here before you ever go and teach the angels how to sing a new song. Because if you're going to frown face your whole life, listen, the Bible says there are going to be many people that say, Lord, Lord, that aren't going to enter in. Because you know why? Because that which they needed to learn, they did not learn. And that which we learned and should have done, we did not do. He's a loving God, but he is a jealous God. Let's read the last two verses. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance. I love that phrase. All for your furtherance. All for your furtherance. You are not even here for you. Man, that's powerful. When a mother and a father have a child, they are not just here for themselves anymore. They're here for somebody. When somebody gets saved in the church, you're not just here for you. You're here for them. We're supposed to be that elder, that leader, that guide, that person that leads them. It's okay to pray. That person that actually comes up and prays and shows somebody else that it's all right to pray. The only reason I've ever found that there's dust on the altar is that nobody trusts God. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. The death of something will unveil delight. It could be your body that goes, but you'll have something to rejoice for when it's all said and done. But it might not be your body tonight, church. It might be your circumstance. But even out of tragedy, you can still show something to somebody. I have seen people that have lost loved ones. Maybe they never understood why. But the fact that they still trust God the same way they did before tragedy struck inspires me. There are people that I've seen that have lost it all. Houses burned down. Circumstances that way beyond what a normal human can tolerate. But yet they were still able to endure. The death of something will unveil delight if you have Christ in it. So let me say this in closing to you. I hope that you're thinking about some things right now. I hope that something is provoking your mind to think about where you are sitting in your situation. Because here's the bottom line. Unless you are using what you're going through as a teaching tool to your brothers and sisters and your children and your family, friends, and coworkers, unless you're using what you're going through to teach somebody, then you were blessed in vain. Because if you think that it's just to keep and use, if we just think that our salary is for our own benefit and not to bless others, if we think that our songs are only to get compliments and, wow, you're an amazing singer, powerful, anointed, bless God, I'll come hear you anytime you come. If we think that it's all about the things we can't even take with us, then we're missing on the very point of why we were even saved at all. So I want you to think about that tonight. When you go home and you're on your way home, just give yourself a sincere moment of thought. Put your phone down for like 10 minutes. Come on, guys. Put it down for like 5 minutes and just think about, what am I doing with what I've been blessed with? Am I showing out of my life that Christ is first? I'm here to confess that there are things in my life that can still be different. I can be more positive than I am. Oh, yeah. We all can. I can have a better attitude, even in difficult times. Oh, yeah, we all can. I'm here to tell you that the things that we all face, it's only in vain if you don't use it to help somebody. I believe with all my heart that had God known that Paul would have turned away, I don't think he would have got his sight back. I believe with all that's in me that had God known that Peter would have said, no, I'm just going to stay on the boat. We'll see you later. If he had just turned it away, I don't think that he would have ever prospered as a fisherman. And you can just pass this on or put it on the shelf, as we heard tonight. You can act like this ain't for you, and that's fine. I can only offer it. It's your choice to take it. But here's what I want to tell you. You better get serious about this. You have to learn to use what you've got to teach others, and that means every facet of what God has given you the knowledge of. That means if you know to praise Him, you praise Him because it teaches others to praise Him. That means that if somebody's preaching and you're behind it, you get behind them and back the Word of God so that other people and the younger people can come up and feel like it's okay to say amen. Establishments are causing that to grow silent. I don't want you to wait till the very end and just give me an applause. If you agree with it, I want to hear your voice. Somebody ought to hear your voice. We need to learn to acknowledge the truth in the fullness thereof. Go ahead and stand with us tonight. And as always, look over at your neighbor and say, thank God he's done.